Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, Colossians, and Revelation. I'm going to try you out this morning on the scriptures. One verse, Romans chapter 5. Romans, then Colossians, chapter 1. And Revelation, chapter 1. I know that's kind of stretching it out, but we want to do that today. Let me ask you a question this morning. What do you think the most powerful thing is?
Prayer.
Somebody said prayer. Anybody else got an answer? What's the most powerful thing?
Well, the Word of God in prayer.
Okay, there's another answer. Word of God. Anybody else got an answer?
Faith
is powerful. Okay. I said the most powerful, though. Okay, well, there's a little help back there on the back row, Jesus. Well, I'm not talking about a man, but it's really, but we're fixing to find out, okay? The most powerful thing. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You might want to mark that verse in your Bible. Notice what he said, justified by his blood. Now turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. In whom we have redemption or salvation through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Okay, now let's go to one more. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Folks, there is nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus. Prayer itself don't take away your sin. Faith don't take away your sin per se. Only the blood. Amen? The blood, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we want to remember that. There's power in the blood, we sing. Under the Mosaic law, the blood of thousands and thousands of animals was poured out as their bodies was offered up as sacrifices for the sins of the people. Think about the animals, innocent animals being slaughtered because of the people's sins. And Christianity itself is a bloody religion. Think about that. Christianity is a bloody religion. It took the blood of Jesus Christ that we just read about. to get rid of our sins, to make us acceptable to God. And I'm talking about today the power of the blood of Jesus. It took the blood of Jesus Christ Himself being poured out for us to be forgiven of our sin. Think about that now. Why does these religions have blood as the center of their practice? Think of all those innocent animals dying under the Mosaic law. And then of Jesus Christ Himself shedding His blood and dying on a cross. And God was satisfied about all that. A holy God. Why all this shedding of blood, someone might say? Why does God want the blood of animals and then of His Son to be spilt? Well, you know what? He didn't even want that blood of those animals spilled. You read that in Hebrews 10 and 8. Sacrificing offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not. Neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. God wasn't pleased with all those animals dying. But they were dying for a reason. The reason was they were a figure or a type of the sacrifice that was going to come and lay His life down that God would accept. And that was necessary for salvation. Those blood of the animals didn't save anybody. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ where there's salvation. The animals was just a prefigure of the one that would come. The reason for the blood is that God required it. The wages of sin is death. That's God's law. You got to die. Man, in the beginning, sinned, and he died. Adam and Eve would never have died. Think about that. If Adam and Eve have not disobeyed God today, they could sit on the front row of the church. They'd still be alive. Ain't that something? We'd be singing a happy birthday to them, 6,000 years old. Amen. There never would have been animals dying for the people's sin, nor the death of the Son of God, if Adam and Eve had not sinned. The wages of sin is death. They sinned, and now they have to die. And what God had to do, well, He didn't have to, but He did do, in order for us to be saved, some man had to come and take care of that sin that had occurred in the world in the beginning. And no animal could do that. And not just some man could do that. It'd have to be a special person. It would have to be, listen to me carefully, it'd have to be a God man. Jesus Christ was the God man. He was just like every one of us in this room today, except He had no sin. He didn't have a sin nature. He was the God-man. His Father was the Spirit of God. But His mother was a mother like my mother and your mother. Because God is a holy God, and because God is holy, rebellion or disobedience to Him requires punishment because He's holy. In order for God to remain holy, He must judge sin. He must deal with sin. He cannot accept sin. The Bible says he can't look on sin. He's a holy God. The problem in the world today is people don't understand God's holy. And people don't fear God today in too many places. Boy, when they see him, they're going to be scared to death then, many of them. Since man is a sinner, God instituted a religious system that foreshadowed how God was going to deal with the sin problem of mankind. That's why there was a Mosaic law and sacrificial system for 1,400 years, where they offered up all those millions of animals as sacrifices. And I would challenge y'all today, this coming week, and in days to come, get your Bible and read the book of Exodus and Leviticus, when God begins to tell those people how to sacrifice all those animals every day. Every day. I wonder, I know some of you have, but some of you probably never have. You ever went to a hog killing? That's a mess. Now that's a mess, because you got to do it when it's real cold and you're freezing to death. But those people had to kill thousands of animals. And some of them, they would kill them thousands in a day. Because God was trying to impress upon those people what sin has done. And the cross of Jesus Christ, when we see the cross of Jesus Christ, it should impress upon us how awful sin is, that God required his only son to die for me because of my sin. My sin condemns me. I don't care how much God loves you, sin condemns you. Something had to be done about it. And we couldn't do anything about it. We didn't want to do anything about it. How many of y'all struggle with accepting Jesus because you didn't want to quit doing this or quit doing that? You wanted to be in control of your life. Genesis 3, 14 and 15, it talks about all these sacrifices that in the Mosaic law was talking about this coming Messiah mentioned here in Genesis 3, 14 and 15. And the Lord said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above all every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And here's the verse. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. When Jesus died on the cross, his heel was bruised, but Satan's head was crushed. His power was broken. Satan is a defeated being today. Oh, he's still going about, but he's defeated. And he knows this Bible better than me and you does. And he knows his days is getting shorter, and he's going just as hard as he can to try to cause us Christians to mess up. And he's trying to keep people that's not saved from being saved, because he's spiting God as much as he can. And the only way he can do anything about God who threw him out of heaven is to spite God by keeping people lost and doomed forever. That's what Satan's doing. He don't want people to get saved. He wants to spite God. Ha, 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 I got that in for me. That's the way the devil operates, folks. He don't care about you. These scriptures detail for us how God is going to one day break the power of the deceiver by the becoming Messiah. And that's what happened. And when I went and saw The Passion of Christ some years ago when it came out, And Jesus died on the cross. Old Satan that was standing behind the cross, he just screamed. He let out that weird scream because he knew he was defeated. When God's Son is the Lamb of God died upon the cross outside of Jerusalem, he broke Satan's power and paid for the sins of the whole world, and it satisfied God and the justice of God. God was satisfied concerning sin when Jesus died. He paid for sin. And the only reason he could pay for sin was because of who he was. He was the God-man. He was the God-man. He weren't just mere man, though he was a man. But because of who he was, he could take care of my sin and your sin and the sin of every person. Them two men beside him that died, those criminals, they died, but they didn't pay for anybody's sin. They didn't even pay for their own sin. But that man on the middle cross paid for all people's sin. Animals no longer have to be offered as a sacrifice. Aren't you glad you didn't have to bring a lamb or a goat down here today and kill him down here, cut his throat, and take him over there outside and burn him as a burnt offering to God? People did that for 1,400 years, folks. Every day. Boy, are we blessed today. Now, our Savior has already died, and all we can do now is just come here and just praise Him, worship Him, thank Him, love Him, and live for Him. Now, animals no longer have to be offered as a sacrifice. And again, I challenge you to read the book of Exodus and Leviticus, where all those laws were established by God for the Jewish people to observe. For 1,400 years, by the way. That all ended when Jesus died. In Hebrews chapter 10, turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10. The blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross has forever satisfied God and pleased God. The blood of Jesus. And as I said a while ago, the blood of Jesus Christ is the most powerful thing there is. Only the blood of Jesus will get rid of your sin, my sin, any sin. In Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices, for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Read that, folks. This is one of my favorite books, Hebrews, and I love this 10th chapter. Then said I, listen, he's talking. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me to do thy will, O God. It was God's will for Jesus to come. Above, when thou sayest, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. God got no pleasure out of that, seeing those poor animals die, folks. But it was necessary for the people to show them what they needed, how serious their sin was. You don't understand how serious your sin is? Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, took away the law, that he might establish the second, the blood covenant, by the which we are sanctified, set apart, that is, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. When you get saved, you're saved forever. God is satisfied when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, folks. Y'all understand English? Today, you and I do not have to bring an animal sacrifice and have it killed in our stead. Thank God for that, folks. God is now satisfied concerning sin, since His Son has paid for the sin of the whole world. Isn't the world pitiful today? There's sin that's paid and they're ignoring it. They're ignoring it, brother. However, to take advantage of the sin debt being paid, each person must repent of their sin and trust Jesus as their own personal Savior. Question: have you done that? Are you satisfied that you have really asked the Lord to forgive you and asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your trust in Him? It's not just that you believe in Jesus. It is that you are trusting Him. You've committed yourself to Him. That's what it means to believe. You've committed yourself to Him now to start following Him and living for Him. In Hebrews 9:12, this is a passage. You ought to mark this verse. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. Jesus now is talking about Jesus. By His own blood He entered in once into the holy place. Jesus took His own blood into heaven. Are y'all listening to me? Jesus Christ took His own blood after He died. He took it into heaven to the altar up there. And it's there as a witness that He did die before God. Boy, that'll sober you up, won't it? The blood of Jesus Christ was taken to heaven to show He did die for our sins. You see, when under the Mosaic law, they had to take the blood of those animals and go and sprinkle it in the holy place on the mercy seat. And now Jesus Christ Himself took His own blood to heaven so that God can look upon the blood that paid for my sin, your sin, church. There are many powerful things in this world. When it comes to cleaning clothes, there's products like Tide and Gain, Oxidol, Clorox, just to name a few things. Then there's bombs and bullets and gases and fire whose powers are very destructive. Then there are words that are discouraging and frightening and bitter and angry and hateful words. Has a word ever cut you down? You know how that feels when your heart falls down into your socks? Words. But the blood of Jesus Christ takes away your sin. Amen. But no matter what you might come up with, there's nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing in the world of death that can cleanse you from the stain of sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can make any of us acceptable to God, the Bible tells us. The blood has to be applied. And the Spirit of God does that when the Holy Spirit knows whether or not you've accepted Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, when He sees you have accepted Jesus, He applies the blood of Jesus to your heart and soul and spirit. That's one of His ministries. And when your blood washed, your blood washed. It's a one-time experience. It's called being born again. It's being called and made a new creation. Blood sustains life in every one of us. If you didn't have blood in your body, you wouldn't be sitting here. Your body would be dead, and you would either be with the Lord or in torment, one or the other, if you didn't have blood. It's the one thing every person needs is blood. You got to have a certain amount of it. And there are several types of blood in humans, A, B, O, and AB. But there's only one blood that will cause you to live forever. This other blood, A, O, B, or AB, will give you life on earth. But only the blood of Jesus Christ will let you live forever. The blood types of humans sustain human life, but the blood of Jesus Christ gives eternal life. Woo, ain't that something?
Yes, sir.
I've given a lot of blood before I got leukemia. Gallons of blood I've given over the years. People need blood sometime. But you know what? My blood might help sustain earthly life, but it wouldn't give anybody eternal life. The blood type of Jesus is holy. Amen? The blood type of Jesus is holy. Some have suggested it's an AB blood type or Rh positive. Some think Rh positive or Rh negative. Whatever, it looks like it took holy blood to pay for all the human family's sin. His blood had no sin in it. His blood was holy. The Apostle Paul says that by the blood of Jesus we are justified. And I've told you all, and I'll tell you again, to be justified means, and this is the power of the blood again, to be justified means that you are as if you've never sinned. I want you to let that sink into your heart. If you've been saved, you've been justified by the blood of Jesus, and God looks at you as you have never sinned in your life. Now, that's awesome, isn't it? That's another reason when you're saved forever, folks. Amen? You're justified. What does the word justified mean? It means you're as if you've never sinned. Now, that's very powerful, isn't it? It means that the blood of Jesus removes any trace of sin in your heart or life forever before holy God. And that's how the Bible says we've been made perfect in Christ. Now, our body has not been redeemed. Our body has not been changed. But our soul and spirit has been made anew. That's why this old body's got to go to the grave. And on resurrection morning, this body's going to be redeemed. That means we're going to get a body, the same body, without a sin nature. Boy, this is awesome, folks. First Peter 1. Turn to First Peter in your Bible, chapter 1. Boy, this is golden stuff. Rich stuff. 1 Peter 1, 18. For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. You weren't saved by corruptible things like money or anything of that nature, gold or silver. as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the one with holy blood redeemed us, made us acceptable, justified us. Can you say hallelujah this morning? Hallelujah! I've been saved by the grace of God, not by anything I've done, but the blood of Jesus Christ has washed me thoroughly, folks. It took the life of God's Son dying and pouring out His blood to purchase our salvation. So that's why God allowed His Son to be betrayed, to be took and to be judged by wicked men, to be beaten, condemned to die on a cross, because God ordained it. So His Son could pour out His blood so we could be saved. Boy, that's an awful plan that God ordained. And think about it in this way, church. This is the only way you could be saved. It's the only way I could be saved. Jesus Christ, God's Son, had to pour out His blood. And He did it willingly. He did it willingly. Because He loved us. He loved His Father, and He obeyed His Father. It was the will of the Father to reconcile us back to Himself. Our sin had separated us from God. But through Jesus Christ, reconciliation is possible. And all it requires on us is to believe. By faith. By faith. Now that's the power of faith, folks. Faith in Him, Christ. Believing in Him. I'm putting my trust in Him for what He did for me. My dependence is in Him, not on anything I do. I can't help myself get saved. My salvation is fully in Him who shed His blood. It was man who sinned and rebelled against God, and it would take a man who was fully obeying God to satisfy the justice of God, and it was God's only Son. But I tell you what, God had a long-range salvation plan, didn't it? Took 6,000 years to get it down to me. 4,000 years for Him to get to the cross. God is very patient, isn't He? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, boy, you want to look at this verse. Oh, this is one of my favorite books of the Bible, Ephesians. In Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 6, the sin that condemns us has been paid by Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Redemption. We've been saved. The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. We didn't deserve to be saved. There was nothing in us that merited salvation. It's the grace of God. God wants to save us. And He made a way for us to be saved. That way is through His Son dying, shedding His blood. And He says, if you'll accept what my Son did, I'll forgive you of all your sins. And you can live with me forever. Free gift. Free gift. Salvation's free. Now that's the love of God, folks. You know, this morning, if there was announced on TV or the radio, there's free gas down at that gas station. We'd wreck our cars, running over everybody, trying to get to the gas station, get free gas. Right? That's man. But God says, I got free salvation. Why don't everybody come rushing to the throne of grace and get saved? It don't work like that, does it? You know why it don't work like that? I can tell you why. I might be a country preacher, but I can tell you why. Because there's a devil. There's a devil. Have you been saved? Having been saved, we're now the children of God. Sons and daughters of God. We're the family of God. We've been given eternal life. We're going to live forever. I think about that every day of my life. I'm going to live forever. This old body of mine, I just push it to go. Will you take out the trash, honey? When I feel like it. You laugh. You'll get there. No, you got a long way to go. Hey, folks, listen. We've been given eternal life. We've been made a new person. And the question is, but what if I sin after I'm saved, somebody said. Will I lose my salvation? I hear this so much, I want to puke. Folks, we've been given eternal life. And God will deal with you as one of His children if you do wrong now. After you become a child of God, that don't mean you're free to live and do what you want to do. Some people think that. Now that I'm saved, I've told y'all this before. When I got saved at age 14, I said, well, now I've been saved, I don't have to go to church no more. I've been saved, I don't need to go to church no more. That was what I was thinking. Folks, now that I've been saved, I need the church more than ever. I need to learn how to live for the Lord. I'm a slow learner. The Lord had to take me to woodshed a lot, folks. When you get saved, you're the Lord's person forever. But if you start doing wrong, disobeying Him, He might not do it at first. He'll give you a chance to repent. He'll give you a chance to straighten up. He'll give you warnings. But if you don't listen directly, you'll be crying. You'll be miserable. You don't know what to do. Because God can really complicate a Christian's life, folks. He can really make you miserable. We got a lot of Christian people today in this world miserable because of disobedience as a Christian. And they're miserable. They're miserable. You want to be blessed of the Lord? Obey the Lord. Now God, when He says, I want to bless you, and God does want to bless you, that don't mean God wants to necessarily. He does, to a point. He blesses us materially to a point. But that's not what God's interested in mainly, material blessings. He promised that to the Israelite people, material blessings. He's promised the church spiritual blessings. I want you to so live so I can use you. I want you to be a loving person. I want you to show people how Jesus was. I want you to grow like the Lord. That's what the Lord's more interested in you than giving you a lot of material things. The flesh wants the material things. You're not going to take a single material thing with you when you leave this world. Like Brother Orloff used to say, he said, I've preached a lot of funerals. and people that had a lot of money, but they ain't no U-Haul trailer behind them taking it with them. Oh, listen, folks. The devil's a sharp guy. He's cheating people out of their blessings today. Christian people. So if you got sin in your life, God warns. Repent. I'll forgive you. I'll spare the rod. For all those who fail to trust Jesus as their Savior, the Scriptures warn in Hebrews chapter 10 again. Hebrews chapter 10. Boy, this is a bad word, folks. This is a bad word, but mark it in your Bible. And verse 29. Listen to this. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall be brought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You know what that verse is really saying this? What a poor soul that's going to be that rejects Jesus Christ when they face the wrath of God for eternity. You despise what the Lord has done. You don't think it was that important. Your sins weren't that bad. The Word of God. Just think about Adam and Eve only ate some forbidden fruit. What's the big deal in eating some, a little bit of fruit? To God, it was a big deal. You disobeyed me. What a severe judgment awaits all who reject the blood of Jesus Christ. Because without the blood, there's no salvation. Without the blood, you can't go to heaven. To know about the Savior and reject Him will receive even greater judgment. And in this country of ours, when people have had the opportunity to hear about Christ and said no to Him, it's going to be horrible for people, folks. How poor that soul will be in the lake of fire forever and forever. In concluding today, we have great songs about the blood in our Bible. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. There's power in the blood, folks. And what about these churches that's taken this hymn books and taking the songs with blood in it out? These churches doing that. Yeah. Denominations doing that. Get rid of the blood. You get rid of the blood, you don't have no salvation. Amen? What about it today? You blood washed? You been blood bought by faith in Jesus Christ? I trust so. Loving God, speak to hearts. Deal with hearts. Lord, help us that's been saved to be concerned about these people in the salvation box. that need to know of your grace and mercy. Lord, help us to be ever mindful of them every day, praying for them, praying for others. And also, Lord, that is your people living a life that pleases you before other people. Help us to go about, Lord, being faithful people, trusting the Lord, showing the love of the Lord, and forgive us where we fail you. And we thank in Jesus' name, amen and amen. This time...